Hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to another great episode of the Voices of Courage show. You know, today is going to be a day that we explore corporations, leadership. You know, what's going on out there in the world of business and corporations. I have a very special guest on my show today. He's made a film about this. And, you know, we're going to kind of blow the whistle on some of the practices that are still out there. You know, we've got a lot of corporations in America today that are really focused only on one thing. All right. What's that one thing? You probably know what it is. It's profits, right? They're not focused on people. They're not focused on bettering your life, bettering the planet, creating sustainable planet for all of us. It's all about profits. And why is that? Why do we still accept that right now? All right. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are, you know, working for these organizations and they see what's going on, you know, but, you know, hey, let's face it. You know, there's a paycheck coming in every month. And if you're getting that paycheck, you know, are you the one that's going to blow the whistle on, you know, some of these practices, or have you bought the Kool-Aid? Maybe you bought into it. You know, yeah, this is just the way it is. This is the way we do business in America. You know, we maximize profits. We maximize profits for our shareholders. You know, if the environment suffers or people suffer, well, that's just part of doing business. Well, quite frankly, it's not. And it's a practice that we have to stop in this country. We have to start having more balance in our organizations. We have to start thinking about people, thinking about how we can, why we're even here. Why are we on this planet? Are we here just to make profit? Are we here to, you know, just buy bigger houses, bigger cars, bigger, you know, more clothes, be more in fashion, more perfumes? Is that really what life is really about? Maybe it's about something deeper. Maybe it's about growing ourselves, evolving, changing, and stepping into a greater self and understanding what even, quote, the greater self is. Yeah, I've been working with Dr. Irvin Laszlo for the last 2 years. Irvin Laszlo is a Nobel Peace Prize nominee twice. He's written over 106 books and, you know, received a bunch of honorary doctorate degrees. He's an amazing man. He's a genius. I asked him one day, I said, you know, what's the price of greatness? Irvin thought for a second. He went, price of greatness is two things. You got to know yourself. And you got to live from the consciousness of oneness. What is that? Well, first of all, he wasn't talking about the ego, knowing your ego and knowing your personality. He was talking about something deeper within ourselves, knowing who we are as a soul, in my words, as a soul, right? And then he also said, you know, we need to live from oneness. Well, that's a consciousness that a lot of us are either living or maybe have heard about, but you know, it's a consciousness where we understand that we're all connected. Everything is connected. Science has shown us. Quantum mechanics, quantum physics, general science, neuroscience. Everything is showing that chaos theory. Everything is showing that everything is connected to each other, from the micro to the macro, right? So when we start to understand that we are impacting our, just by observing the field that we're in, we can make impact on it. So how is that playing in your life? Are you impacting your family, your community in a positive way? Or maybe you're one of the people that just, you know, turns on the news every night and gets downloaded with programs from news media and you believe that's reality. Well, what if it wasn't reality? What if you create your own reality consistently? Well, all right, I'm going off on it, but listen, we're going to be tapping in today to the corporations of America. We're going to be talking about what maybe we could do better as a species to uplift ourselves, upshift our consciousness so that we can really make a difference in this world. I'll be right back with my very special guest after the break.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger, too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper Quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor or 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm here with my very special guest, Eric Garner. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ken. That was a great intro, by the way. I want to interview you.
Great. Love to have you. Love to do it for you. So for those of you that don't know, Eric is a writer, a producer. He's a director. He's been nominated for 7 Emmys, him and his team. And he is the editor right now of a feature documentary called Confessions of a CEO, My Life in an Out of Balance World. And this film is quite, frankly, cracking the code of critiquing corporate America through the true story of Tom. And he'll tell us about Tom in a little bit. This documentary we're going to talk about today features very relevant in the players in the world, which is Deepak Chopra, Robert Kennedy Jr., Dan Buettner, who is the author of this Blue Zones, and so many more. So it's a story of growth, redemption, and the impact of self-awareness on leadership and life. So I'm really happy to have you here, Eric. You know, you got the inside scoop. You're the director of this film. First of all, let me just congratulate you on getting that film out in the world. I know it's now on Amazon Prime and some of the other major platforms out there that people can get it. How'd you get involved in this film?
It was a journey, and it was I got into the film business in the 90s because I wanted to help people, but that was also the beginning of the reality TV world. And I got into that. So, you know, like you said, I landed on Survivor. I was an editor for 10 years. I was nominated for a bunch of Emmys. And then I drifted to Bravo, where I was a showrunner on some of their most successful shows like Shaws of Sunset. And I was a fixer of shows like Below Deck. But I always had this urge, you know, desire to make films that help people. And so when Tom offered me the opportunity to work on his film, I jumped at it. And so he and I, we agree on a lot of things. And he's a few years ahead of me. And so we wrote it and directed it together. And we're presenting it to the world because we think it's a blueprint for, it provides a system that people can use right now, like literally today.
Well, I think that's the most important, inspiring part for myself. And when you say help people and help people today, now, what are we talking about here?
Well, Tom had the movie follows Tom's journey as a business person. And he created this business and he went on an incredible high, but he was a toxic individual. So he crashed and burned. And then he met some people like Deepak Chopra and other people like that, and became more aware of a better way to do things. And he created a system that businesses can follow where you can live with yourself and be successful at the same time. And at the same time, it's also a way that people can live, like people wherever you are in the organization, whether you're a customer service representative on a phone bank or the CEO, it will help you function in a business, and your life will get better. And it just offers a system that we can follow to clean up our businesses.
Well, you know, I know, in the monologue, I read a little bit about, the film. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it tonight, though. I've, it's going from, prioritizing profits to helping, you know, prioritizing people, which kind of like is where we need to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how does a film, document that, or how does that go in the film?
Well, it's counterintuitive to a lot of what people think a successful business should be. The way Tom ran his business was there's four pillars. There's profits over people over profits. And it's easy to flip that because that's the natural thing. So you look after your employees, you look after your customers, you look after your shareholders, and you look after the community. There's four pillars that are equally important. And so if you concentrate on that, the profits just come. And your life isn't so chaotic, and you're building things, and people are proud of what they do. And, you know, if you think about the four pillars, you know, looking after customers, looking after your employees, looking after your shareholders, and looking after the community, then you can sleep at night, your business will be successful, and other people will follow suit. What Tom found is when he applied that to his own business, his business became way more successful than it was when he was toxic. And so then when he sold his business, and then he became a mentor to people like Deepak Chopra and Al Gore and Dan Buettner and Robert Kennedy Jr. And they did more successful. He literally turned Deepak Chopra's company around and helped it become this fantastic organization that is profitable, helps people. I mean, he was on the cover of Inc. magazine, and that's, you know, and that wouldn't have happened without Tom's system. So he's not, and the system even works today, where Tom has a fund called the Gramercy Fund, where he helps organizations and businesses turn into these kinds of businesses. So it's a grassroots movement.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was just reading about Tom. It's Tom Gigax, G-E-G-A-X, for my audience. If you want to look Tom up, you know, and he is a co-founder and former CEO of Tires Plus, which was a major U.S. Tire chain. And now he's got this amazing business out there. Documentary that we're talking about. This documentary, you know, when people watch it, what are they saying about it right now?
Well, we're 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So they kind of like it. The cool thing about the movie is it's not just a beat you over the head message movie. It's not like you gotta, there's no finger wagging. We used all the Hollywood techniques, all the reality TV techniques to make it cool and fun and exciting. And it has highs and lows. It literally takes you on an emotional roller coaster in a good way. And so it's really entertaining to watch. If you don't care a bit about the economy, if you don't care a bit about change, if you just watch the movie for pure entertainment value, you'll have a good time.
That's good. Well, you know, one of the things I like about, you know, the film, you know, in reading about it so far, but it's about consciousness. It's about bringing consciousness to corporate America. And, you know, quite frankly, we need that. You know, when I think of becoming more conscious of, you know, how people interact in the workplace, emotional intelligence, you know, what a real visionary leader looks like in today's world. You know, how do we help people really become the best versions of themselves at whatever position they're in? And how do we transition this from this top down, I'm the boss, I tell you what to do, when to do, and how to do it, to flattening that curve where we're all important here. Everybody's important. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO or the secretary. You have a role to play in the organization that fosters either the health of the organization or the dysfunction of the organization.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that's important to that end is that the truth will set you free. And a lot of people hide the truth, and the truth, you know, is a really good litmus test. Like, people who are afraid of the truth are probably not people you want to do business with. But, you know, like in our, you know, in the system that we have, we, you know, you want to measure customer satisfaction. You want to measure employee satisfaction, you know, as well as measure how well you're doing in the community. Like, you know, now it's not a lot, but 20 years ago, corporations spent 8% of their income on community services. And now it's less than 2%. So, you know, and so it's like, but if you measure that kind of stuff, then the numbers are there and they're there, and you'll get results, but you can't be afraid of what your customers are going to say about you. You can't be afraid of what your employees are going to say. Like, if, you know, and today, if people are running around in the government and they can't speak their mind and they don't have an effective way to speak their mind, that's not a way to run a business.
Yeah. Well, you know, in my day growing up in business, it was grow or die, right? Everybody, you either grow your business or you die. But, you know, today it's more about, it's about change, transform, see what's working, what's not working, how we can improve our business and how we can improve customer relations, improve our teams. It's more about that in healthy businesses. Listen, I got to take a break. When we come back, what I want to ask you, and if you feel like sharing it, is did you go through any transformations while you're doing this documentary yourself personally? So we'll take a break and we'll find out.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call, so please call right now.
Hey, Kendi Foster here. We'll be right back with my guest in just a second. I want to encourage all of you to go over right now, if you haven't already, go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. If you subscribe, you know, our show is all about sharing, passing it on, helping others upshift their consciousness, and I hope you'll do the same. So you go to YouTube, you can share this content, you can pass it on to your family and friends. Go to our youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, and you'll be able to pass it on. All right, I'm back with Tom. I'm back with Eric. I got Tom and Eric mixed in my head. Eric, okay, so, you know, I don't know if you want to answer this, but I, you know, rumor has it you went through some of your own personal transformations as you were doing this film. Is that accurate or not?
Yes, I went through personal transformations before the film, so I'm predisposed to appreciate the message. I was a toxic boss for a long time, and I had my own awakening. And you know, I would go through, you know, I wouldn't trust my employees. I would stay late and do their work for them, which created, you know, animosity. I did everything you could possibly do to be a toxic CEO, and I had my own awakening. And, you know, and when you talked about spirituality, spirituality gets a bad rap because, like, you know, so a lot of times when you say, oh, if you're a boss, when you want to be spiritual, they're thinking you want to lie on a bed of nails. Well, it's like being spiritual is actually when somebody says something to you that you don't agree with, pausing for a second and thinking about what you're going to say rather than rip their head off. That's what being spiritual is. So I was on the path to that, and I appreciated that, that I needed to do that, but it's tough to do on your own. And so, you know, when I was working on the movie with Tom, I learned to be more organized about bringing spirituality to the business. And we made the film with, as a team. There's a bunch of us who worked on it, and we applied his principles. And it's funny, when there was a disagreement, you know, whenever there's a disagreement, we would just go, let's get the book, because Tom wrote these books about it, and let's apply the principles to our own project, which we did. And so that actual using the system that we're advocating in the film to make the film was a revelation. I mean, it's like, you know, we drank the Kool-Aid literally.
Well, I love that. And it, you know, it's interesting because, you know, even that word spiritual, you know, has judgment around it. A lot of people just think of it in a lot of different terms. And, you know, as you just put, you know, we can be spiritual by being more present, by being mindful, or by communicating effectively, or trusting ourselves and trusting others in greater ways. That's the spiritual practice itself, or being more compassionate in the workplace, or more understanding in the workplace. I think the other word that triggers people, they don't get it, is love. You know, love, we're not talking about romantic love, but when we put more love into the business, you know, our personal love, what we love to do, what we love to, you know, communicate, what we love to be, right? And we start to bring this into the business, you know, we love to, you know, life is chiefly service from my point of view. So if you're, you know, if you're in a loving state, you're being of service. It's another one of those trigger words. But, you know, that's exactly what we need today. What do you say?
I couldn't agree with you more. And I it's the inside, it's an inside job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like the showiness, it's not, you know, I agree with it. I couldn't agree with you more. And the thing is, the more people do this stuff, it's like a muscle, the easier it gets, because it's not easy to be in a room with somebody and actively disagree with them and actively dislike them and then have to work with them. And one of the things that I like to think about is that, you know, imagine how you're going to think about that moment in 5 years, like that moment where I lost my cookies and went after somebody, or that moment where I panicked, or that moment where I did this. It's like, you know, 10 years from now, am I proud of that moment? Is that the best way to behave? Because a lot of times just that waiting and, you know, and thinking about it and actually thinking about, you know, putting yourself in the other shoes. That being said, one of the things from the film that we are very, very clear about is that you want to be warm-hearted yet tough-minded, because, you know, life is not easy, and it's better when you use, like what you're saying, love. But, you know, sometimes people have to be fired. Sometimes you don't win. You know, sometimes your company doesn't succeed, and you know, that's just, you know, and this, but the spirituality also helps you live with that and deal with that as well.
Well, you know, I'm a 30-year plus meditator. So I meditate morning and night, have been for 30 plus years. And one of the things that's come out of that for me is intuition, and developing my intuition in much greater ways, opening my creativity in much greater ways, and being a lot more authentic. And I think that's another piece that we definitely need in the corporate arena. You see, when somebody gets fired, quote, fired, it already hasn't been working for that other person. See, it doesn't work for both people. Well, when we can't tune into that, we can't understand that, listen, it's not working for me, it's not working for you. And we, you know, if we get out of fear, we move into a state of, well, what is it I really like to do? What is it I love to do? And then, of course, you know, the name of my show, Voices of Courage. We have to step into courage, and courage is not a thought. That courage, we all innately born with it, but it doesn't show up until we take steps into the unknown. And, you know, that then courage shows up. Courage is an energy, a power. It's a feeling that we get when we step into the unknown with certainty that it's going to be, and sometimes uncertainty, but it's going to move us forward in some direction. So I think we need a lot more courage in the corporate arena. Listen, I want to take a deeper dive into the film itself. But before I do, I am going to take a break in a second. But I want to put on screen here the where people can go to. Is it to download the film or to see the film?
You can download it. You can. It just like you would with any studio movie that comes out. You can rent it or buy it on any of the platforms. So, you know, if you want to watch a Marvel movie, just wherever you would watch your Marvel movie, go look for Confessions of a CEO movie, and you'll find our movie, and you can rent it or buy it. And it's on Amazon Prime, it's on Apple, it's on Fandango. If you go to Confessions of a CEO movie, confessionsofaceomovie.com, there's a link that will take you to a page of all the places where you can buy it or rent it.
I love that. Okay, good. All right. Well, I am going to take another quick break. When I come back, I want your opinion on some of the most pressing issues in corporate America today. And we will be talking about that when we get back from the break. Here we go.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm talking with Eric Garner. He's an award-winning director, film producer, and we're talking about his latest film, Confessions of a CEO, My Life in an Out-of-Balance World. To say the least. I love that title. That's great. And tell me a little bit about what you see as the most pressing issues of our time in corporate America.
Well, I think the divisiveness is the thing. And we talk about it in our movie. In our movie, we bring together people of different backgrounds and people of different beliefs and different political stripes. And because the idea is people have to work together, and you have to work together despite your difference. Everybody's going to have a difference of opinion, even within the left and within the right. And the divisiveness and how we deal with conflict is, I think, the most pressing thing. And we talk about it in the movie. That's why, you know, we put Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Deepak Chopra in the movie for a reason. And it's really important that you hear from different voices. And so we practice what we preach. And you watch the movie, you will see both of them differently. And you know, same with Dan Buettner, and same with, you know, one of the voices in the movie is a Republican mayor who is the head of the United States Council of Mayors. And it's vital. I mean, I literally think the survival of our country is rooted in successful conflict resolution. And so that's what we talk about in the movie. And that's if you're wondering why we have such a diverse range of voices, that's exactly why, because it's so important. And we couldn't put Robert Kennedy in, even though I personally disagree with a lot of what he has to say. Yeah. We couldn't put him in and practice what we preach.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I think take any political leader out there, and I think we got people on both sides. People that absolutely believe that they're the end all be all, and other people that think that they came from the dark side. So I think that, and that happens in corporate America everywhere. We judge people, we judge their personalities, we like what they do, we don't like what they do. But I think what you just said is really important. I've always learned principles before personalities, right? Principles before personalities. And, when we're going down that path, we can start to see the forest from the trees, right? It's like, the person that's on one side of an issue or another, we probably have the same values. You want the highest and best for all, but we just go about it a different way. In the movie, how does it bring out that we can come together to communicate more effectively with one another instead of just tearing each other apart and criticizing and critiquing? And, that whole model doesn't work. We see that model doesn't work. I don't know why we keep using it, but it doesn't work.
Well, it's a short-term narcotic. My favorite quotes from Tom is taking these shortcuts is a seductive narcotic. And CEOs, the reason why we're focusing on CEOs is because CEOs, many of them, get off on the high of that dopamine rush of crushing someone or being mean or hurting others or winning in a short-term win. And when you think about the long-term, that stuff never works. So, but it's such a sugar rush that people still do it. And it's when you're talking about growth, corporate growth, the quick fix is, according to time and history, bad. So nobody likes, the market to spike. And yet we still have CEOs and politicians who are looking for that, where long-term growth is what, it's not sexy, but it's what wins in the end. Like civilizations, political entities, businesses, they survive on long-term growth that comes through, following the four pillars, looking after your customers, looking after your employees, looking after your shareholders, and looking after your community. Once you stop doing that, you sacrifice long-term growth. And so anybody, like virtually any CEO, can do things to maximize short-term growth, but at what cost? And so, to get back to what you're saying about, why this is, it's because we have a lot of people who are addicted to the seductive narcotic of short-term growth, and they think that's a solution when that's actually bad. Sometimes an artificial spike in the market is bad.
It's not good. Well, you mentioned this, and I'll just bring it up. I think we have to redefine what winning is. Winning is not just about beating the competition or crossing the finish line first, or the one that can pound his chest the biggest or is the fastest. That's an old way of defining winning. I sense winning is how we grow, we learn, we evolve. It's about you want to win something, win self-mastery over your mind, over your emotions. That's winning to me. Or winning is like living with a purpose. Winning is like I said earlier about serving, being in a servant leadership mold, or lifting others up when you rise up, right? Lifting people up or growing through adversity. That's winning. you know? So I think we have to, you know, in the biggest win, I think anybody, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, here's the biggest win I think you can have for yourself at work or at home. The real win is, do you have peace of mind? Can you be peaceful? Can you turn that mind off like that? Can you really, do you really have peace? Or is that mind going 90 miles an hour all the time, trying to figure out the next, the next thing to buy or do or have or be? You know, I think we have to redefine it. What do you say?
I agree. Oh, I you're preaching to the choir. You know, it's, and one of the things, here's some news you can use. One of the ways to start going down that path that anybody can do is to, and we talk about this also in the movie and in Tom's book, is that you can change your talk to listen ratio. Oftentimes, people just talk too much and they don't listen enough. And so when you actively think about your talk to listen ratio and increase the listening part, then your life will get better. I mean, I'm telling you, you could start this today. If you literally go into your day thinking, I'm going to listen more than I normally do, and I'm going to talk less than I normally do, your day will improve. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. You know, I'm going to plus that too. I think the other thing is, you know, again, we're really taught that as critical thinkers growing up in this country, especially. Maybe you, instead of turning it around, looking for what's wrong, find what's right about people. You know, find something that's right about somebody that's sitting next to you, or you know, during your day, and acknowledge them. You know, there's a lady that I met in San Diego. I've known her now for about 30 years. Her name is Halise Bridges, and Halise created this little blue ribbon that says "Who I am makes a difference." She's acknowledged, I don't know, something like 40 million people now. You know, just acknowledging somebody, because quite frankly, you know, when somebody comes up to you, a lot of times people are like, whoa, what are you going to say to me? You can change that around by acknowledging people. I mean, just these little things we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the things though that like gives me peace of mind about this is that history has proven that people are resilient. So, you know, if you really want to swim upstream and look for short-term gains at the expense of your customers and your shareholders and your clients, you know, and your employees and your community, it's if you do that, history, the people who do that at the end, they don't win typically, because people are so resilient. You know, dictators don't win. Dictators are historically beaten eventually. That's because people are so resilient. I mean, I believe in this system is because I believe in people, and I believe in people are resilient. And, you know, the reason why you want to work with others on your team and in your community is because it's cool to work with people. People are cool, and they find a way to win. And all these laid off workers and all these government workers and things that are being laid off, you know, I don't know what the political views are, but you know, they're resilient. There's going to be a response. It's like, response. I mean, it's like, I'm betting on people. I feel good about this because I'm betting on people. And I think people will aspire to improve, and they learn and they grow. And it's in our DNA. It's what our spirit is. And so I think people, especially under adverse situations, they eventually find it. And we are definitely under adverse situations now. And I believe that people will find.
I believe you're right. And listen, I got to take a break. We come back, Eric. I'd like to, the film brings this out. Listen, if you are working for somebody right now and you're wondering, how do I work with this challenging leadership team? Well, we're going to come back and Eric's going to talk about that. So we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here. Did you know that I wear hearing aids? I love my hearing aids, and I am here to help you get a deal on the same brand I wear.
Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $297 a pair. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology many customers say is superior to more expensive models. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $297. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design.
Call my friends at MD Hearing and get the over-the-counter hearing aids that I use for you.
Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $297.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm talking with Eric Garner today. We're talking about the new movie he's been a major part of as the filmmaker. It's Confessions of a CEO, My Life in and Out of Balance, My Life in and Out of Balanced World. All right, Eric, the movie brings this out, and maybe you can get a little insights in my audience here. You know, you work. I got people listening right now that are working for leaders that are a little toxic. How do we effectively work with those leaders and operate more consciously and ethically? How do we help them do that?
Well,
can you help them do that?
I mean, you have to live your life. I mean, you have to live your life. And I should go to the back and get Tom's book. Tom wrote two books. One was about, how corporations can best run. And the other one is about how to coach yourself. Mm-hmm. And I should have grabbed it in the break. And it's like, it's really important to coach yourself as you go through your life, and be present, talk, be honest, be ethical, and do the best you can to make suggestions and live, be the change you want to be. I don't want to dismiss it. It's hard. And sometimes you just have to, walk away and you have to leave if you're in a toxic situation. But the idea is to voice your concerns, in a humane way, and be the change you want to affect. And that's why Tom wrote two books. One is about coaching yourself, and the other one is about the big book of small business.
Yeah, I love that. In fact, I was just coaching a fellow this morning, we were talking about leadership style. One leadership style is where you walk around with a little dark cloud over your head, lightning coming out, thunder and lightning, and you're complaining and you're worrying and you're fearful and you're putting that energy out into everybody, right? And you're telling them how to do it, what to do, and where to do it. Yeah. The other one is you're a sunshine leader, right? You got the sunshine out, you got a great attitude, the company's falling apart, things aren't going well, but you know what? You're going well because you're even-minded. You understand that challenges come and go. You're walking in there with an attitude of gratitude. You're leading in a place of understanding, compassion, and love. And you're taking actions consistently to show that you are a leader, not a loser. So I think that's the difference. Listen, this has been a great interview. I really love that. What are your hopes for the impact of Confessions of CEO, and what other projects or initiatives are you working on?
I hope people talk about it in a way that brings them together. I hope that it just becomes a way to start people, because I believe that this system that we have is inside you. So it's almost like, Michelangelo, when he carves a statue, he says, David is inside the marble, and I'm just chipping away the parts that aren't David. And I think that our system that we promote in the movie is inside us all. And so I hope that people will gravitate towards that, and it puts into words what people are feeling. And I just hope it'll move us closer to ending the divisiveness. I think the divisiveness is going to end. It has to end. But I think this movie, if you want to end the divisiveness in you know, in our country today. And, you know, the movie will give you tips about how to work that out.
You give it a conscious, because in the past, how we moved from divisiveness into nationalism is that we got into wars and everybody comes together to fight a common enemy. We don't need to do that anymore either. We need to be conscious of this, step into a new way of leadership, new way of thinking. And it all starts with you, my audience. I hope that you're listening to what we're saying here. I also hope that you'll go today, tonight, go and go to Confessions of a CEO movie.com, and you can see all the platforms that you can download or listen to it from there. Or you can just go on Amazon Prime or do a search, Confessions of a CEO movie. All right, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a brilliant, brilliant interview. I really appreciate you.
Same. It's great. I now I'm going to start Googling you, and I'm going to stalk you a little bit.
Good. Copy. By the way, subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Already done.
All right. And I want to thank all of you for being here today. You know, these shows are for you, and they're there to help you grow yourself, inspire yourself, move yourself forward. You know, no matter where you are, we can all grow, learn, and improve. And I hope you continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Till next time, take care.